I want to bring a message here this morning, and I want to start it with a question. There in John 40, it says this, "And this is the will of Him that sent me," John 6:40, "And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now, if life is in seeing the Son, and this is the will of God that you see the Son, what does it mean to see the Son? What happens when a man sees the Son? How do you see the Son? What does it mean to see the Son? Back up in verse 39, it says this, "And this is the Father's will, which has sent me." This is the will. This is God's sovereign, eternal, immutable purpose. This is the will of the Father. This is according to His covenant and His own counsel. This is the Father's will that sent me. His secretive will, because He goes on to say there, "That of all which He hath given me," not only His sovereign, eternal, immutable purpose, after He works all things according to His own counsel, but He says it is His secretive will, "of all which He hath given me." There's a people that were given to Christ before the world. She sang it there in the last verse, "Who shall declare His generation?" Who's going to declare it? Millions upon millions I've already lived, and myriads are fallen in His train. Oh, all that He hath given me. Oh, that's the blessed will of God. And then, oh, but look what His revealed will down here in verse 40. That was His secretive will, "all which He hath given me." I should lose nothing. Oh, God's will sent me. God's will gave me some people. And then His revealed will, the will that we see, the will that we know something about, the will that I'm going to talk to you about, and this is the revealed will, "that everyone which sent," this is the will of Him that sent me, "that everyone which seeth the Son may have everlasting life." I'll not lose a one of them. I'll raise them up at the last day. That's the will of God. That's the will that He's made known to us, that what He'll do for sinners. And then back up in verse 38, look what it says here. This is the one who came to do the will of God. We have so much said here about the will of God. Verse 38, "This is the one who was obedient to God's will. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me." I came to do that eternal will of God, that sovereign will of God, that secretive will of God. And that revealed will of God, that all that He had given me, I'm going to give them life. Amen. And I'm not going to lose one of them. I'm going to raise them up at the last day. And yet God, He's the one who did the will of God, who came and accomplished the will of God. Not man's free will. Man's free will can't even heal him of a toothache or a headache. Not much less have anything to do with his salvation. Not man's right, not man's obedience. He was the one. He said, "I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of Him that sent me. I came here to obey and do the will of God." And there's only one who could fulfill and accomplish the will of God. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's eternal purpose. Amen. His Son. When our Lord, the day He was baptized, the Father spoke from heaven and says, "This is my beloved Son. I'm well pleased with Him." Never said that about anybody else on the face of this earth. And the Lord Jesus turned right around and says this. He says, "I do always the things which please Him." Oh, I don't even do things that please myself. I do a lot of things that don't please me. I wanted to, but I can't. But our Lord Jesus did the Father. You see, He was the one who not only did the will of God, so obedient to the will of God, but He's the one who declared and made known the will of God. That's what He says. "This is the will of Him that sent me. This is the will of Him that sent me." How would we know the will of God if Christ hadn't come and declared it, if Christ hadn't come and done it? Huh? How would we know it? You know, God has sundry times in different times in different ways in the last days. And it spoke through the fathers by the prophets. But hath in these last days, what did He do? He speaks to us through His blessed Son, makes Himself known to us, makes His will known to us through the Son. The Father loves the Son and has given everything into His hands. And that's what He, you know, in fact, I'm going to say this. Not only did He do the will of God and declared the will of God, made known the will of God, but He Himself is the will of God. Everything that God does, He does by His Son. God manifests His will and does His will, and He does it through His Son, and His Son is the will of God Himself. It pleased the Father that in all things He should have the preeminence. It pleased the Father that in Him all fullness should dwell. And all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in the Lord Jesus Christ bodily. You know where He done His will? You know that He was the will of God in creation? Ain't it what it says? By Him all things that was made. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And He was the, by Him all things that were created. He's before all things, and by Him everything exists. You want to know what thou God created? He did it through His Son. He's the will of God in creation. And I know this without a shadow of a doubt. And this is what needs to be cried from the rooftops, and I wish every preacher in America and in the world that gets in a pulpit today would say this, that He is the will of God in salvation. There's no other place. That's what He says. This is the will of Him that sent me, that all which He hath given me, I'm not losing one of them. I'll raise them up at the last day, and this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone that sees the Son might have everlasting life.
Yes, sir.
And I'll raise him up. Oh my, so I mean salvation's in one person. God, you want to deal, we won't deal with God. You got to deal with this. This is the will of God. You want to have it, we don't know. That's what they said. What might we do to do the works of God? This is the work of God, that you believe on Him. And He's the will of God in providence. You know everything God does in this world, He does because of His Son and through His Son. In fact, the Father loves the Son, give everything into His hands. And we're going to, and you know God works everything in our life to conform us to the image of Christ. Everything He does in this world is to conform us to the image of Christ. That's what He's doing. And this is something I don't like to say, but it's true. But He's the will of God in damnation. Our Lord Jesus said this, except you believe I am He, you'll die in your sins. He says, the Father judgeth no man, but He hath given all judgment into the hands of the Son. The very Christ that men don't want to bow to and don't want to submit to and don't want to believe in and wants to just hold Him at bay and hold Him at their power and hold Him at their will. That's the very Christ that they're going to face and hear one day, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Huh? You know, it says this, I am He that was dead and I'm alive and I live forevermore and I have the keys of what?
Death and hell.
He's got them. You know, we used to think, you know, so boy, people used to, preachers used to preach and we used to believe, you know, that if we didn't do this and that, somebody would go to hell on account of us. There'll be not one soul in hell because of anything I've done.
No, sir.
And there won't be one soul in hell because of something I didn't do. Won't be. No. There's only one person that's got the power over that place. Only one person got the keys. Only one person. And that's why it is. You find in the Scriptures that Christ put Satan himself in the bottomless pit.
Amen.
Huh? And that's what He told that bunch of Pharisees. How are you going to escape the damnation? How are you going to escape it? So, beloved, back here in our text, men must see the Son in order to be saved. This is God's will. This is the Father's will which has sent me. This is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. And it can't be changed. You can't change God's will. And salvation is seeing the Son. So what does it mean to see the Son? Moses lifted up that brazen serpent. Our Lord Jesus says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And when that serpent was lifted up, everyone that was bitten with those serpents, when that brass serpent was lifted up, Moses said, everyone that looks will have life. Everyone that looks, have life. And that's what I'm telling you. There's life in a look. I know of two men that saw him in the scripture. Isaiah said, when I saw who? The Lord. When I saw the Lord, he can be seen. Where did he see him at? High and lifted up. What else did he see? He saw his glory. And when he done that, what did he cry out? Oh, woe is me. Oh, Job bragged and bragged and bragged and bragged, and then all of a sudden, he said, I've heard about you. I've had all these comforters for all these days telling me about you. Now my eye sees you. I see you with my own eye. And I abhor myself. So he can be seen. So listen. Got a few little points this morning. What does it mean to see the Son? To see the Son is to be convinced, without a shadow of a doubt, of the reality of Christ. What do I mean by that? Everybody knows Jesus. Everybody's accepted Jesus. Everybody knows who He is. Everybody one of these days intends to accept Him. Everybody one of these days intends to get right with Him and make peace with God. But to be convinced of the reality of Christ, the Scripture says, he that cometh to God must first believe that He is. Now, that don't mean that he believes. They say in America, 75% of people believe in God. They believe in a higher power, believe in a supernatural power, believe in somebody. But I mean, do they really believe God? Do they believe Him as He is? Who is He? What's He like? He's eternal. He's immutable. He's sovereign. He's majestic. He's holy. He's righteous. And that's why when God spoke to Abraham, he believed God. And oh, beloved, you must believe that He is, not who you think He is, not who you want to believe, or just in His existence. Believe that He is who He says He is, and that He will do what He says He'll do. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And oh, look what over here in Romans 10:14 with me just a moment. This is one of the verses of Scripture. That Romans 10:14. That deals with this. That's why Pharaoh said, when Moses went and said, God said, let my people go. He went in to tell Pharaoh. Pharaoh's sitting there on his throne. He's the most powerful man in the world at that time. And here he comes in. Moses comes in to the most powerful man. Here's a fellow that's been tending sheep for 40 years on the backside of the desert who comes in. God said, let my people go. You know what the first thing Pharaoh said? Who is the Lord that I should obey Him? Who is He? Who does He think He is? He ain't got any power. Who, tell me to let somebody go. Who is He? And that's what most folks say. Who is He? And when you preach Him as He is, they'll say, that's not the one I know. And that's, look here in Romans 10:14. Watch what it says. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ah, boy, that's something. Now here, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? If you've not believed Him, how are you going to call on Him? Now here's the next question. And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? How are you going to call on somebody you don't know, and how are you going to believe in somebody you never heard about? And I mean hear the truth about Him. Hear the facts about Him. Hear Him as He is described in the Scriptures. Now look back over here in John 6. Let me show exactly what I'm talking about. Look there in verse 41, John 6:41. Then the Jews then murmured at Him because He said, I am that bread which came down from heaven. Look what they said about Him. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph? whose father and mother we know. How is it that he saith, I come down from heaven? We know his mom and his dad and his brothers and sisters, and here we know him, and we've known him, and he says he come down from heaven. How can that possibly be? They didn't see the reality of Christ. And oh, beloved, you know, all saving faith is founded on knowledge and understanding. There's no such thing as blind faith. There's no such thing as that. Faith is founded on knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of Christ. When Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And not only knowledge of knowledge and understanding of what you know about Him. That's why Paul said, you know, he says, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees and I didn't know God. I didn't know Christ. I was ignorant. I was in unbelief. And then one day Christ smote him down on the Damascus road. And beloved, you know what he come to say after that? He said, I count everything but dung that I might win Christ, that I might know Christ. And I want to have the excellency of the knowledge of Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness. He had some knowledge of Christ, some that understanding of Christ. Oh, you can't trust an unknown and unrevealed Christ. That's what he says, you know, that everyone that seeth the Son. You can't trust an unknown Christ, an unrevealed Christ. Everybody, you know how many people this morning are going to be talked into going to an altar, be talked into going to the front and accepting Jesus, and that's the first time they've been in a church service in years? You know how many is going to have that happen to them? They don't know anything about Christ. They're just going to hear about Jesus and how much He loves them and how He stands here with His arms open for you. They're not going to hear about Him as the sovereign. They're not going to hear about Him with all power. They're not going to hear about His cleansing blood. They're not going to hear about His substitutionary death. They're not going to hear about His satisfaction to the justice of God. They're not going to hear about how that He was made a sacrifice for sin. They're not going to hear about how holy and how righteous and how omnipotent and how glorious He is. Huh? Oh my, you can't trust an unknown and unrevealed Christ. I read something the other day that just astounded me. That men have always called, as long as there's been a man on this, has called on the God that he knows. And I read something in the Scriptures this week over in 1 Kings. It says, you know, that they sent, took all the Jews out of one place and moved them over here and took a bunch of people and moved them back over here. And to put them in those homes and that night, they moved the Jews out and moved all these other people in. Well, lions come among them, started killing them, started eating them. And they said, oh my, we don't know what to do to satisfy the gods of this land. Said, we don't know the manner of the gods of this land. So what are we going to do? They said, well, send us a priest out of them Jews. Said, he knows something about it. That's what they said, the manner of the God of this land. And that's what you do when you go somewhere, you go with the God of the manner of the land. When you go to Mexico, they've got a God down there that's the manner of the land. You go to the Philippines, a God. You go to India, the God of the manner of the lands. And that's what most folks are doing. They're going along with the God of the manner of the lands. And ever how they tell you about Him, that's what you're going to trust in. And oh, beloved, you can't ask why, who is Jesus Christ? When we ask you, who is He? If you ask the average person, who is Jesus Christ? You know what they say? Well, He's just Jesus. He's just Jesus. They fight this time of year, every year, they fight over Christmas songs and nativity scenes and whether y'all say Christmas or Happy Holidays and all that. They're arguing over stuff like that. And they're missing the whole point of who is Jesus Christ. I tell you who He is. He's God. He says, I came down from heaven. My Father sent me down from heaven. He said, I'm from above, you're from beneath. He was God. The only God you'll ever see, the only God you'll ever know, and the only God you'll ever bow to is Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory.
Amen.
God's eternal. He's invisible. He's spirit. Well, how are we going to see Him? How are we going to know Him? He came manifested in a flesh that we could see Him, where we could handle Him, where we could taste Him and touch Him. The Word of life, God Himself came down in Jesus Christ. He's God. And what did He do? What did He do? What was His purpose in coming? Get God in the notion of liking us and loving us and helping us save ourselves? Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Huh? Oh, beloved, why did He do that? Why did He come here to save His people from their sins? She sung it, He was wounded for our transgressions. The Lord, here we are, we're sinners. Born sinners, shaping in iniquity. We cannot deny our sin, cannot deny our hypocrisy. We cannot deny our sin, we cannot deny. We're sinners. Sinners in what we say, sinners in what we think, sinners in where we go, sinners in what we do, sinners in what we feel. Sinners in our minds, sinners in our will, sinners in our heart, sinners in our souls. Something must be done with that sin, or else we're going to face God in judgment. God took that sin, charged it to His Son, put it on His Son's account. And Christ went to the cross and God's wrath poured out on Him. God's judgment fell on Him till He Himself cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Whoever sins that, God's got to forsake it.
Yeah.
And all our sins were there. And you know why He bore our sins? And bore them away into the tomb and come from the grave and ascended back up into glory? So that God could be just. God was just. How can God save me and me being a sinner without punishing me for my sins? Without me dying for my sins? Without me being judged for my sins? Without His wrath coming down on my sins? How can that God be just and save me? Put somebody in my place, equal with Himself. Now, I come to the Son, and God justly receives me because I don't have any sin. Where are they gone? Christ bore them away.
Amen.
He was the just for the unjust. Now watch this. That He might bring us to God. Huh? And where is He now? Oh my. He's standing out here in the front, honey, for you. He's weeping for you. He's heartbroken for you. He's standing at your heart door just begging, 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 please let me in. No, I'll tell you where He's at. After He by Himself purged our sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on Him. That's why it says if you see the Son. Do you all see? Some of y'all seeing the Son right now, ain't you? You're seeing the Son. And oh, there He sits and God said, you see Him up there? See Him? See Him in His glory? See Him in His authority? See Him in His majesty? See Him in His finished work? See Him in His intercession? See Him holding us up and keeping us? You see Him? Do you see Him? Oh, beloved, Christ is not a myth. He's not a myth. He's not a martyr for some special cause. He's not a mystical figure of history that everybody's searching for and trying to figure out if He really existed, what He did while He was here, and if He's who He said He was. He's not just an influence. He's not just an idea or an idealistic teacher that we ought to listen to or an example that we should follow, but a living person. With all glory and all power and all right and all salvation in Him. And this is the will of God. This city said, if you'll see me, look at me, embrace me. That's what seeing the Son means. Seeing Him and seeing Him as yourself. Seeing Him. He said, I'll give you life. And I'll never lose you. And not only that, but when you go to the grave, he said, I'll raise you up at the last day. He's God manifest in the flesh. Let me show you one verse of scripture before I move on. 1 John 5:20. 1 John 5:20. Look what it says here. We know, Christ is not a myth, a martyr, mystical figure, marriage counselor, and all that. No. Look what it says here in 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God is come. This the Father sent me. I came from heaven not to do my will but to will. And we know that He's come. And when He came, look what He done. It hath given us an understanding. He come to give us an understanding. What is this understanding about? And why did He come? That we may know Him that is true. And not only that, but this is what seeing the Son is, and we are in Him that is true. Even in His Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. He's come. Oh, beloved, let me hurry on. I'm taking too much time. I know conviction. Conviction. A fellow called me the other day and says, conviction is something anybody don't even talk about anymore. You know, when man's convicted of a crime, you know, if he's guilty, he understands. He, you know, I'm convicted. I'm going to jail. I'm going to suffer. Well, conviction of sin. Conviction of not being able to be acceptable to God. Conviction is born of knowledge of the law. Oh my, Paul said, I was alive without the law once. But then I seen it. I seen it in its holiness. I seen it in its demands. And the law says, love God. I love myself more. Love your neighbor. I love myself more. Don't you lie. Oh my, I don't know how many I've told. Don't you covet. I want everything I see. And so we're convicted of our sin. I'm a sinner. I can't undo that sin. I can't undo them lies. I can't undo that covetousness. I can't undo that self-love. I can't undo it. And so conviction of sin is born of a knowledge of the law. And repentance, that repentance, beloved, that makes you turn from yourself and turn to Christ, it's born of a knowledge of Christ. When you see your sin and you see Christ, you can't help but turn from yourself and turn to Him.
Amen.
If you ever see your sin, you can't help but turn. That's what can be. Oh, I see my sin and I see Him. I know Him. I call on Him. I'm looking to Him. Oh my, so now repentance born of the knowledge of my sin. It's against You only that I sin. And faith is born of the knowledge of Christ. Oh my, when I see Christ, faith comes. Bartimaeus said, O Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Paul said it this way, I know whom I have believed. Do you believe a person? And I'll tell you, I'll never get through this of today, I don't reckon. But I got to say this. And I've said it so many times, there's going to be so many people in hell who said, I trust the finished work of Christ. I trust the finished work of Christ. You say, how can that be? It's not the finished work of Christ. It's Christ who finished the work. Paul didn't say, I trust the finished work of Christ. He didn't say, I trust the cross of Christ. He said, I trust Him. I want to know Him. I want to win Him. He said, I know whom I have believed. And you go through the Scriptures, and how many times did they say, if I can touch Him, they called on Him. And when Philip was, that eunuch was sitting in the chariot reading. What did Philip preach to him? 5 points of Calvinism? Baptist doctrine? Join the church? Be baptized and wash away all your sins? No. He began to preach unto him the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came to see this water to be baptized. And said, "Why, here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized?" He said, "If thou believest." What is the same thing as saying, "If thou seest that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you may." He said, "I believe with all my heart." And that's what our Lord's saying. He that seeth the Son. Let me move on. Here's my second point. So to see the Son is to be convinced of the reality of Christ. Conviction of sin, repentance, faith. And to see the Son, is to be convinced of my awful, my ruined, my helpless, my lost, rebellious state before God. I mean, have you ever seen yourself utterly and absolutely lost? Absolutely lost. Helpless to do anything about it. Ruined. And can't change your state before God. It's to be convinced of our own sinfulness. Sinfulness. I say this without any thought about it. That man who has never groaned, mourned over his sin. I mean groaned and mourned over his sin, will never rejoice over redemption by the blood of the Lamb. Never rejoice over that. But boy, if you ever see your sinfulness and you groan over it and you mourn over it, oh, you'll say, when you hear that hill hymn sung, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins," and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. When you hear about that fountain filled with blood, "That's for me! That's for me! Will it cleanse me of my sin? That's for me! I've got to have it!" Oh my, and I'll tell you one characteristic of this church-going generation, of this Bible-believing generation, of this born-again generation, of this praying generation. This, "I love the Lord. I don't care much about the gospel. Don't care much about church. Don't care much about being committed. Don't care much about the Bible. But I love the Lord."
Well,
one thing I die characteristic of this generation is they don't have any knowledge of sin at all. Don't have any knowledge of it. They've just swapped their so-called idea of an idol for another idol. Just add Jesus to all other gods that they're worshiping. Huh? Oh, they don't have any knowledge of sin. They don't know what it is to be a sinner. Huh? Oh, my. They've got Jesus. They're fixed up for heaven. And at the same time, they will not have this man to reign over me. Huh? They'll stand up and tell you, "Since I got right with God, I quit my sin. I look at my hands. It's a..." Don't know nothing about sinfulness. Sin to them is something strictly to be done with your hand. And that's why preachers so manipulate congregations. They get them up and start telling them about all the sins. Start talking about sins. Sins of cold heartedness. Sins of not praying. Sins of not being faithful. Sins of not giving you money. Sins of not tithing. Sins of being ill or hateful to your wife. And they'll go on and talk about sins. Next thing you know, they got everybody feeling guilty. And they'll have the altar full. And everybody just crying. And they'll get up and they'll just weep. "Oh, Lord, I'm not going to do that no more. I thank you." They'll feel so good about themselves. They'll get up and go back out and, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, the preacher have them all feeling guilty again. You know why? Because they're dealing with sins, not sin. Oh, my. Sin is something of the heart. If I ask you right now, what's the worst sin that you think that anybody could possibly commit in this world? I mean, you know, we got that little new grandbaby, so I thought, how could anybody injure an infant? But people kill them all the time and wrap them in blankets and put them in dumpsters. How could anybody rape a 4-year-old child? But they do it all the time. How could anybody just walk in and shoot people down? Just bam, 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 bam. Just shoot them down dead. How can a mother or a son hate and despise a mother and a father? Or a mother and father hate and despise a child and wish they'd never seen them again? But it happens every day. So what's the worst sin you can think of? We talk about all these sins. But you know, every one of those sins are sins of the heart. And I'll tell you what our Lord said about sin. When He began to describe sin, you know what He said? For from within, out of the heart, the first thing was an evil thought. What do you think evil about? First thing you think evil about God. Then you think evil about yourself. If you think you're good, you're thinking evil. Because you ain't good. Huh? You ain't good. And all sin is something they do in the flesh instead of the spirit. But all these sins that we commit that only God sees, pride, covetousness, self-righteous. You hear somebody say, I ain't got a self-righteous bone in my body. Well, self-righteous is not in the bones, it's in your heart. Huh? You heard people say, I ain't got a jealous bone in my body. Jealousy is not in the bones, it's in the heart. Well, that preacher sure got on my toes. Now listen, that makes everybody feel good about it. Preacher got on my toes. That means, boy, I understand a little bit about myself. Listen, if a preacher, if God don't get in a man's heart and show him how sinful he is, he's just, ain't no hope for him. Huh? And before a man will have peace in his heart, before a man will have peace in his heart, he'll weep over his sin. His sin, that's what he is.
Yeah.
Sin's what we are. Huh? We breathe it. And secondly, we'll mourn and weep over our sins. What we do. What we do. We confess them, Lord, please forgive me of that. And then I tell you one thing that we'll really weep over and really, really mourn over, and that's our righteousness that we had for so many years that we thought was acceptable. We'll count it as dung. We'll weep over that righteousness that we had and trusted in for so many years. Oh, God, forgive me of that righteousness. Oh, please, that righteousness that I thought was good and acceptable to you. Forgive me, it's dung. And we'll get up every day and say, oh God, for I believe, but help my unbelief. Huh? Oh, beloved. Let me give you one more and then I'll quit. To see the Son is not only be convinced of the reality of Christ, be convinced of your wretchedness, your ruin, your loss, your sinfulness. The third thing, to see the Son is to be convinced. Be convinced of the absolute necessity of Jesus Christ. You've got to have Him. You've got to have Him. Once you ever feel the necessity of Him, that necessity gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Huh? Oh, my. Oh, I see Him. I see Him as absolutely necessary for me to be forgiven of my sin. He's absolutely necessary if I'm going to be accepted of God. He's absolutely necessary if I'm going to be justified. He's absolutely necessary if I'm going to be sanctified. His righteousness is absolutely necessary if I'm going to have a righteousness. He's absolutely necessary for me to have life. Huh? Oh, our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're convinced of this. He's an absolute necessity. He's not a convenience. You know that's what He is to most. Just a convenience to most folks. You know when they get in trouble, what do they do? Jailhouse religion. Go up to the jail. One of these days you go up there at that justice center and they got a huge rack there of one religious thing after another. And they get in there and Jesus is a convenience to them. He's a convenience for them when they face a judge. He's a convenience for them. Jesus is convenient when people are starting to have a divorce. Jesus is convenience when somebody gets sick and they're laying dying. Jesus is a convenience. He's not a necessity. Now, he's a fire escape. You don't want to go to hell, do you? Well, of course not. I know how to keep from going. Oh, he's not a doormat. I just get upset with folks using him as a doormat. You know, we'd use doormats to wipe our feet off, you know, when we come in. Well, folks come into church, you know, and they've lived like hell, and these preachers let them come in and say, Jesus is ready to take you back. And they can get lost and back and lost and back. Every time they come in, they're using him for a doormat to wipe their filthy feet off. He's an insurance policy. You can even sign an insurance policy. He'll guarantee you that you go to heaven. Oh, beloved. He's not just one of the ways. He's not just one of the doors. He's the only way.
Amen.
He's the only door. God only deals with men through His Son. And I'm convinced, beloved, I'm convinced that all I need, and you see the absolute, all I need is found where I am in Him. When I seen Him, I said, I found everything I need. When I see Him, I see everything I need. A man's not seen the Son until he sees that all, A-double-L, capital L, is found in Him for all he needs for time and eternity. You need righteousness? God made Christ our righteousness. You need holiness? God made Christ our holiness. Sanctification. You need redemption? God made Christ our redemption. You need wisdom to understand yourself? Wisdom to understand the Scriptures? Wisdom to understand some spiritual things? Christ has made unto us the wisdom of God. And God says you're complete.
Yes, sir.
In Him. Huh? Oh, my. To see Him is to receive Him and entirely, undivided. I don't take Him as my Savior, not my Lord. I don't take Him as my Redeemer and not my Master. I don't take Him as my... I got to take Him as my Prophet, my Priest, my King, my everything. All, everything. I can't divide Him up. And I despair. When you see Him, you despair of salvation in anyone or anything else other than Him. And I've just got 2 points. What would take me 5 minutes to do these? And I know it's hot. To see the Son is to see Him as the free gift of God. Free gift of God. You can't earn it, Christ. You don't work for Christ. You don't merit Christ. The wages of sin is death. That's what you're going to get for what you do. But Jesus Christ. But the gift of God is Jesus Christ. The gift of God. Being justified freely, freely by His grace. So if I have Christ, He just give to me? You don't merit a gift. You don't deserve a gift. You don't pay for a gift. God give us His Son freely. In my hands no price I bring. Jesus paid it all to Him owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And last of all, to see the Son, look here in our text. To see the Son is to see Him as your security. Look what it says there in verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and watch this. And him that cometh to me, I'll never cast him out. I ain't gonna cast him out. I'm just secure. And down verse 39. And this is the Father's will that which has sent me, that all which you have given me, he ain't gonna lose nothing. That's pretty good. But Christ says I'm not gonna lose you. I lost. Me and Larry's talked about this. We'll put something up and say, I'll put that where I'll always remember where it's at. So when I get ready to go back for it, I'll go right, know right where it's at. Well, you get ready to go back for it. Where'd I put that thing? And you run from one end of your building to that, left, right, up, down, look everywhere, and you can't find it. But Christ knows where every one of His people is. And He said, I won't lose that one. I won't. Oh, that one over there, that devil said, that one over there done some awful thing. I ain't going to lose him. Oh, I'm fixing to go. I'm not going to lose you. I know right where you're at. Know what you're doing. I'm going to hold on to you tight. And oh, listen to this. And then not only that, but He says, I'm going to raise him up at the last day. All from Adam, all from Abel to the last saint going to be raised up. He'll not let one be cast away. I say this, not one bone of his body shall be broken. Not one sheep will be left in the wilderness. Nope, he'll find every single one of them. Old Simeon, that old man went in the temple. God had told him, says, you're not going to die till you see my son, till you see salvation, till you see the Messiah, the Christ. He walked in there one day and he was a 40-day-old baby. He picked that infant up, held it in his arms, and here's what he says, mine eyes, he that seeth the Son, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. My eyes saw it. Nobody else in that building saw it, but he saw it. And he says, Lord, let me go on home now. And oh my, have you seen the Son? God help you, give you eyes to see. Give you eyes to see. Oh, blessed, blessed Savior, gracious, eternal God, in the blessed name of Christ our Lord, bless this message to the understanding, to the heart. God, open hearts, open understandings. Please, 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 O Lord Jesus, make the word effectual. Oh, God, cause this gospel to be real, alive, powerful to your dear saints. Oh, Lord, I pray that you give someone the sight today. Give them that sight. Give them those ears. Give them those eyes to see. Give them that faith. And we bless you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to 126 in our hymn.